The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
This morning on The Breakfast Grill, we have Simon Flint, CEO of Evolution Wellness, the entity which will house both Celebrity Fitness and Fitness First in the near future. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning.
Now, post-merger combined, you are set to serve about 100,000 members across Malaysia and hopefully many listening right now as well. So before we begin, if you have a question for Simon, feel free to send in a tweet at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Again, that's 018-789-8899. All right, Simon, before we get into this merger between Celebrity Fitness and Fitness First, I want to get into a major development in the local fitness industry. So earlier this month, you have True Fitness. They shut down their operations in Thailand and Malaysia. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for Evolution Wellness?
Well, I think, you know, the news is sad, and certainly for customers, you know, that there's been a little bit of fallout, and understandably people are upset. And I think the important thing is for Evolution Wellness and for both the brands that we have is that we continue to focus on the customer experience. But behind all of that, one critical thing, I think, is corporate governance and the ability to remain stable, to remain profitable, and to grow at a manageable pace that will ensure success and durability.
But what happened with True Fitness, is that symbolic of, you know, the overall health of your industry? Because, you know, granted, True Fitness, you know, their closure was on a much larger scale, but we have heard of several other outlets from different brands also closing down in recent years. So give us a sense as to the overall state of the fitness industry here in Malaysia.
Well, it's difficult for me to comment specifically on competitors or former competitors, but if we just look at the way that business models work and the way that this industry can be sustainable, if you look at the fundamentals, it's quite a capital intensive business. So, you know, big health clubs can cost between $800,000 to $2.5 million, and of course, to be able to do that and to be able to grow requires very strong governance and very good capitalization. But at the same time, the approach to expansion is really key. And what we've focused on with both brands is a focus on month-by-month membership. So we're not promoting upfront fees and expanding the business off the back of advanced cash. And that is really the critical aspect behind it. If we, to come back to your question, and just look at the trends, I think there are more fitness club openings than closures. There are a lot of new startups, which is a healthy sign. There's the emergence of some of the more international brands that play at the lower cost level, the more affordable level, if you like. So I think that fitness has drawn a lot of attention, not just in Malaysia, but in Asia in particular. So I think we'll continue to see new players coming. But I think it's really important that attention is paid to those fundamentals, and that the speed of growth is managed sensibly and within the means of the organisations.
But then, speaking about fundamentals, you know, looking at some of your numbers, though, and this is for Fitness First specifically, you have lost over 40 million ringgit in your last four financial years. In essentially every financial year, you're losing an average of 10 million ringgit. And that seems to tie in with what True Fitness is saying, because recently their statement says, and I quote, "The businesses are no longer financially viable due to evolving market conditions." So in your previous capacity as the head of Fitness First here in Malaysia, have you found the past few years to be challenging?
Well, just to come back on financials, our business is profitable and cash generative. When we look at it on an intercompany basis, I should perhaps give a little bit of context. As part of this change of ownership, Fitness First will be separated from its global group, which previously included Australia and UK, Europe, Germany specifically.
And so this will just be Fitness First Asia?
Correct, right, yeah, right. Which covers six countries at the present time: Hong Kong, Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines, Singapore and Thailand. And Asia has always been a very strong market. And in fact, it's been one of the best markets for Fitness First globally. So on a local basis, we have a very healthy balance sheet. We're cash generative, we're profitable, and we're here for the long haul, as we have been. And I think it's important to sort of reference track record that, you know, we started back in 2001, and we've had a steady growth track record since. So, you know, I think that it's those things that are really important, that strong financial governance is key. When we look at what's happened in Thailand, for example, you know, no names mentioned, but there's a demise of another business over there a while back. Fitness First was actually there to take over one of the entities which got into trouble and you know, allow people to continue exercising. And I hope that we'll be in a position to be able to do the same in certain cases around the region.
So now looking forward in the not too distant future, you've got Celebrity Fitness and also Fitness First, both coming under one roof. So this merge entity being housed under Evolution Wellness, what was the rationale for this merger?
Well, it's really exciting, actually, because the timing, actually, of both companies changing ownership hands had sort of come together by coincidence, really. And that effectively led to two owning companies, one of Celebrity Fitness, one of Fitness First, ending up engaging and discussing the merits of combining forces. What that's allowed the shareholders to do is to see some returns back to shareholders, but to see them continue to invest and to commit to one of the most exciting markets in the region. So we're very excited about it. As we've looked at this in the process to the lead up to the merger, we've seen that the brands are very complementary. So Celebrity Fitness serves a slightly more youthful market. It's a little bit more edgy. It's a little bit more sexy, if you like, a little bit more fun. Fitness First is known for being perhaps a little bit more corporate, particularly in the CBD areas, a little bit more technical, and the demographic is slightly older. But attitudinally, the members look for very similar things. Another thing that we've found is, you know, internally we've done a cultural survey with some third-party assistants to really take a close look at how our staff feel. We have 7,000 staff now with the combined entities, and we found that our cultures are reasonably similar. So that gave us encouragement that bringing this thing together would be a sensible thing to do. Mm. And of course, we expect to see value by adding value to the members, where the network now grows. So there's a much bigger choice across price bands that people can use one club and then another, perhaps near home, one near work, one where they might go away at the weekend. We've found that reciprocal use is really important across the market. Singapore, for example, 50% of our members use more than one club, particularly in the CBD. Malaysia, it's around 30%. So we're going to see benefits that we bring to members and benefits that we bring to shareholders at the same time.
And is it for existing members as well? Because, you know, beyond the cultural synergies, so to speak, you know, will there be a blurring of the lines, so to speak, between, say, Celebrity Fitness and Fitness First? Will they be interchangeable post-merger?
Well, that's something, you know, the merger will hopefully close in the coming days. So we're effectively starting day one at the start of next month. But some of the things we've been working on in the background is how exactly we will leverage the network and pass those benefits to members. So behind the scenes, there are some big things to do, like rewiring the entire business. We've got big IT platforms and membership access that we've got to harmonize. And that's something that we need to do first to get the technical piece out of the way. Then we'll look at pricing and categories that will allow people to have the benefits of one club, maybe at the lowest cost to a member, then to two, to three, others across a country, others across Asia. And that's something that we're excited to do, because we think we can really motivate more members to use more clubs across the network.
All right, so where will the primary area for synergies then? So again, beyond culture, is this mainly on the cost side or on the revenue side? Where do you see the most synergies taking place?
Well, firstly, on the revenue side, the benefits of having a much bigger network, so this takes us to 154 clubs. We'll add between 6 and 10 a year, perhaps 12 if it's a particularly busy year. The benefits of having a bigger network mean increased retention. We've seen that very clearly. Because people like to use different clubs that offer different things, some clubs may be best-in-class yoga, for example. Some might be best-in-class high-intensity interval training, for example. So people like to go to different clubs to get the best value.
Right.
So we see a lot of benefit in that, because the more people can use the product, the more engagement we have, the more retention we have. Therefore, we see top-line synergies principally in that sense. On the cost side, of course, you know, both businesses have administrative headquarters, and we see synergies there. We're looking to do that over a period of about 3 years. That's not something that's dramatic and immediate, but something that we would take effect over 3 years. We've got a big project, as I mentioned, on the IT side. We're sort of we call it rewiring the house while the lights are still on. There's a lot of work to do there to get the membership platforms consolidated, but there's another cost synergy. There's procurement side as well and things like that.
But what about beyond the headcount at your HQ, what about your headcount at the club level? What are the trimming there?
No, not at all. In fact, at the club level, we're growing. We have 7,000 staff across both of the brands. The club level, it depends on the size of the club. The smallest clubs in our network are about 600 square meters, going all the way up to 4,000 square meters. So that the numbers, the headcounts at a club vary dramatically. Mm. Perhaps our largest may have 60 people. Club headcount tends to grow as the membership grows.
Right, and before we go to break, if I can reference to something that you made very clear during your previous grill with us back in 2015, you use this phrase quite often, that Fitness First operated in a, quote, clearly defined brand space.
Yes.
So will that still be the case?
Absolutely.
Moving forward?
It's a great question, and another piece of the work that we're doing in the background is to look very closely at the two brands. We've commissioned a new piece of work to look at what celebrity means to members, what it means to staff, and to make sure that both brands play very strongly in their own space. But from a geographical perspective, members across both brands would have better opportunities to access.
Still ahead, we'll dive into the expansion plans for Evolution Wellness, which is set to house the merged entity between Celebrity Fitness and Fitness First. I'm speaking to Evolution Wellness CEO Simon Flint.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me in the studio is Simon Flint, who is the CEO of Evolution Wellness, the entity which will house both Celebrity Fitness and Fitness First, perhaps starting next month. Now, Simon, previously on the Breakfast Grill, when you were here back in early 2015, there was mention of the goal to hit 130 clubs for Fitness First alone, and that's by 2018. But now that we've had this merger, what does that do for your goal? You know, do you have to move the goalpost?
Well, really, you know, our goal is less about the number of clubs, albeit at the time that was an estimate of how we saw the growth trajectory. And if you like, you know, the new entity has surpassed that with 154, but that really is not the goal. The goal is to see sustainable growth by pulling different growth levers, if you like. And what we're looking at now is how do we continue to create value in the next chapter? And there are several things that we're looking at. First of all, it's the evolution of the existing product, opening more locations to increase the convenience of the network, etc. Secondly, there's new territories, which new countries may we look at within the region. The third is new formats. So the fitness space is moving very fast with innovation. There, of course, is a big yoga movement, which is seeing more and more popularity. We have very good yoga programs in the clubs at the present time, but there's a possibility that we could look at doing something separate with yoga. So many different opportunities to look at different growth levers. And by the time we get to September, we aim to be signing off on our growth strategy. So we'll be very focused on which direction we'll wish to pursue.
But as you go about trying to execute that growth strategy, you know, like you mentioned earlier, it is a very capital intensive game, right? So how much, it may be a bit early here, but have you begun earmarking a particular amount for your spending plans?
Vaguely, yes. We're at the point where we're sort of honing in on the specifics. But if I talk about this financial year, already we've committed something like $20 million to...
dollars or ringgit?
US dollars.
Oh, okay.
$20 million US dollars to maintenance and renovation of our existing estate. And around about 14 to the building of new clubs. So, and again, that's very important to consider that more of our money is going into maintaining the existing estate than it is into new build. That's really key because that means we return value to existing and loyal members. And I think that's something that we've got to be very focused on as we go forward.
But certainly that's got to put a lot of downward pressure on your profitability, right? Because again, going back to some numbers, 40 million in net losses over the last four financial years, and you've got about 20 million US dollars earmarked for expansion or both capex and operating expenses over this financial year, right? So, you know, when do you think you'll see that substantial turn in fortunes?
If I take it back to the cash generation level, we operate with very healthy margins in the 20th percentile at the club business level. So we're in very good shape in terms that we can continue to invest in our existing estate, expand steadily in a way that we can, you know, manage and sustain as we have done over the years. And that still allows a buffer of cash so that we are in a position to ride out difficult times. You know, when we look back in recent years, we've seen two coups in Thailand, one in the Philippines. We've seen floods. All of these kind of things are business disruptive. But we've always demonstrated resilience and sustainability and come through it cleanly.
A couple of years ago, you went through a rebranding exercise. So I'm guessing that's complete now, especially in light of this merger?
Just about. The rebranding exercise was across six countries. So, you know, it's a big piece of estate to get through all of the clubs. So we're at the tail end of that now with regard to Fitness First. We're looking at a little bit of a brand refresh for Celebrity Fitness. So, you know, it's 13 years since that brand was created, and it's done very, very well. It's time now that we look at, check back to the customer base. What does it mean to belong to a Celebrity Fitness club? What do we stand for? And as I mentioned before, you know, you made the point about clearly defined brand spaces. We want to make sure that both Celebrity Fitness and Fitness First perform particularly strongly and stand up for their own brand differentiators.
And on that note, I mean, although you have referenced this earlier, but we just got another WhatsApp question here, you know, asking, do you plan to allow members from Celebrity Fitness to use Fitness First clubs and vice versa?
Well, the simple answer to that, you know, that's a question we get to our incoming inquiries line, and an understandable one as well. The simple answer to that is that the levels of access across the eventual combined network will be commensurate with the membership fees. So logically, I think that people may be aware that Fitness First carries a generally higher price point than Celebrity Fitness.
I think premium, as you called it before.
There are platinum clubs and premium clubs, that's right. And so we have a price range. It would be illogical that there's full access for all price ranges. That wouldn't make sense from a customer perspective or from a business perspective. But the general answer to that question is that the levels of access will be commensurate with the price paid.
Can customers expect a shift or at least a bias for now in terms of how much they're paying?
We're very keen to make sure that customers feel the benefits of this as much as anybody else does. And that I want to repeat that. We're very keen that our customers feel the benefits. There's no point in talking about the excitement of a merger and our customers not feeling the same excitement. So what our customers will see is the continued investment in the existing estate, access to a greater number of clubs. Some, for example, if you're paying the lowest price point across the range, clearly if you wish to access all clubs, that would mean that you'd need to pay more. But you don't have to. That would be a choice. But it's very likely that some members will get access to more clubs than they've got now without paying any extra. That will be worked out in the coming months, and we look forward to bringing that news to our members.
And we certainly look forward to those details there. Now, last time you were here, you also spoke about how Singapore and Thailand, those were your two most buoyant markets, as you described them. So where does Malaysia sit in terms of your buoyancy levels? Now, how much will you focus on Malaysia, you know, as opposed to the other five Asian countries post-merger?
Well, Thailand and Singapore remain very strong markets. Hong Kong is also a good market for us, albeit a small one, but it's showing very strong and very steady and consistent growth. The benefits of this merger mean that we now have scale in Malaysia and in Indonesia. So something I perhaps failed to mention before, Fitness First had scale in Singapore, scale in Thailand. Celebrity Fitness has scale in Indonesia and Malaysia. Mm. So that means that overnight, four of our six markets, we increase our scale. Scale means we have an opportunity to be more efficient, and that's where we can see a bit more commitment to those markets as a result of that combined scale.
All right. Now, as you go about your growth strategy, you know, like you mentioned, there's increased competition. You're seeing more openings than closures here. We've got a question here from one of your members who's been a Fitness First member for over 10 years. Question is, what's being done to retain loyal customers? Presumably post-merger as well.
Yeah, so something I mentioned prior, the first thing is to make sure that we complete our rebrand in right across the board. I mentioned we have the tail end of that to go. We just received an order of $2 million worth of new equipment, which will go into the clubs for members to enjoy. But something that's happening in the background, and quite honestly, I think we're a little bit late in getting to this point, but again, as a result of the merger, we can combine forces to create a really comprehensive CEM approach so that we can engage our customers digitally. You know, we've had to learn and grow with the times. And previously, there's been a lot of manual contact. There's been a lot of telephone contact with members. Now, of course, everyone's digital. So we're in the background already. We've started work on a major customer retention program that will see people communicated to in a segmented way. So we understand what our members are specifically interested, you know, the attitudinal segmentation, if you like. And we're mapping out a member journey so that we can increase the frequency of communication, offer members different means of engagement, different visits to different clubs, try different classes, different experiences. And I think that's the key thing. We know that engagement increases visitation. We know that increased visitation increases retention. So that's really where it starts.
So to put it in simple terms, if I'm reading you correctly, it's more about having your customers see the value rather than a cheaper membership fee then, right?
That's
your bias.
That's absolutely right.
All right. You know, heard that, folks.
if I can just mention that we have, you know, there are some members who get tremendous value from the club network. They might come 20 times in a given month. That's superb value. Others might come one or two times. And it's these members that are not getting the value that they should. Mm. We can't force people to come. But what we've got to do is to help people remain motivated and have them feel supported. So that's where our work will be focused to increase that retention level.
All right, let's end with this then. In your new capacity as CEO of Evolution Wellness, what's going to keep you up at night? Now, while you contemplate that, because, you know, as I, you know, did my research, I'm seeing plenty of challenges, you know, coming from various fronts. You've got to contend with, say, more gyms at condos, right? Or, you know, some of these boutique studios that offer very specialized services, yoga studios and whatnot. Some warehouse or no-frills kind of gyms. Or even, I mean, take Anytime Fitness, for example. Anytime Fitness, you know, no-frills, and they've got a really bullish growth prospect. They want to grow about 500 gyms in China in the coming years. So, you know, how do you factor all that into your growth projections? Is premium the way to go? You know, what will be the key challenges for you as CEO of Evolution Wellness?
Well, your question was, what keeps me up at night? The first answer to that is my to-do list and the to-do list of the team. I think we all share responsibility. We've got a big to-do list. And a lot of that is innovation. You know, we're in fact, in our Monkeyara Club, which is not too far from here, by September, October, we'll be launching a new boxing concept. We're launching a new high-intensity interval training concept. That's one of many things that's on our innovation agenda. So it's really the size of the to-do list. But we're very committed to the sector. We're very committed to the Southeast Asia region. We believe very strongly in celebrity fitness and fitness-first brands. And on top of that, we expect to see a little bit of diversification. So I hope maybe next time we speak, we have some more news on it.
All right, well, we certainly wish you all the best. Thank you so much for speaking to us today. That was Simon Flint, CEO of Evolution Wellness. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.